Well, I'm going to pray first. Maybe my voice will clear up here. All right. Lord Jesus, just help me today to communicate your truths, to communicate your word, to appreciate who you are in your fullness. So come, Lord Jesus, bless us today. What I want to talk about today, I got water, thank you. Thanks for the reminder. What I want to talk about today is what I think is a foundational teaching. It's fairly simple, but it's very foundational. And that is, God is good. That's what I want to talk about today. You know, understanding or appreciating or knowing in your heart that God is good is like a filter of how you, when you read the word, you know, it's a filter to how you interpret it. It's a filter of how you think about God. And it can dictate your attitudes. When a rich young ruler came up to Jesus and called him, you know, good teacher, you know, what do I need to do to enter the kingdom of God? Jesus responds to him and says, why do you say that I'm good? He said, no one's good but God alone. See, that's very true. And the problem we have with thinking God's good sometimes, because circumstances in our life go a certain way and we get upset with God, well, why did you allow this? And that's because we don't fully understand who we are and who God is. See, we are imperfect, but God is perfect. We are sinful, and God is just in all that he does. Jesus, on the other hand, after in John 10, it says, I'm the good shepherd. And he says, I'm the good shepherd. And he says, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. See, Jesus then, in return, calls himself good, a good shepherd. And he compares himself to a hireling who is only hired to do the job, but he is the good shepherd. God kind of helps us, introduces the whole word good to us in Genesis, in creation, as he went through each day and created and created and created. After each day, he says, it was good. This is good. And when he made man, he said, oh, this is very good, right? And so what we see is that God being perfect and being good, everything he created is good. Now, we know that sin has come into the world, which has polluted this good. And we need to fully understand that. So if that's the case, as in our Christian walk, when we became believers, God did not promise us that everything would be fine, that we would not have any more problems. But let's look at Isaiah 43 a second. Isaiah 43, verse 1 says, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob. I love when he uses the word Jacob, because Jacob had lots of problems, right? Jacob was a one who liked to trick people and get his own way, right? So it shows a person who has character flaws, has sin in his life. And he says, I created you, O Jacob, and I have formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I redeem you. See, we need redeeming. I have called you by name, and you are mine. Now listen to this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Though the rivers shall come and overflow you, will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the fire scorch you. For I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. See, the promise is, because God is good, in this sinful world that we live in, that he will be with us through the water when it seems like it's going up too high and we're about ready to go under. He said he'll be with us. When we got to walk through the fire and go through this situation that's bad, you know, there we are. And it says God will be with us. Now let's look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is a very popular psalm. It's a psalm of David. And this psalm really kind of shows a little bit of his ability as a poet. Because this psalm talks about God's character, but how he does this psalm is that each verse starts with a different Hebrew letter. And it's in alphabetical order. So it's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and so there's 22 verses. So it just shows the complexity of this psalm and the talent that David had as a poet. But I wanted to go down to verse 8, and it says, oh, taste and see that God is good. See, God doesn't just want us to accept or believe his word that he is good. He wants us to sample it. See, the idea of tasting is that if, you know, Pat makes a really good lasagna, and I know it's really good, not because she's told me, which she actually never has, but I've tasted it, I sampled it, and so I can stand up here today and say, Pat makes a really good lasagna. You should try it someday. Taste it yourself, and then you'll know. See, the idea of tasting involves testing or sampling. And so that's what God is saying to us, is just try it and see that I'm good. And then the idea of seeing is to understand or perceiving or discovering something. And so when you taste it, then you actually see that it's good. You perceive it, you understand it, and you can enjoy it. So God doesn't merely want us to take his word for it, but he wants us to walk and he wants us to actively experience and know for ourselves that he is good. So it's like, you know, come on, take a little bite, try it yourself. See, that's what he's saying. If you follow down through this psalm, in the rest of the verses, what we see is that he talks about providing us with a good long life. You read on, and it says that he is with us through troubles, and he'll save us from our enemies. And then it also says that we will know his provision. See, when I got to this part, thinking about the message, I was thinking about tasting and seeing. And I was thinking about my own life. How did I taste? How did I see? And then I was thinking about all of you. All of you could come up, I'm sure, and give a testimony of how you sampled and seen how good God has been in your life. So, since I'm sharing today, I'm going to give you mine. When I was in high school, I grew up on a small farm and had a new pastor that came into our church when I was maybe in 11th or 10th grade. And I really liked this guy because he was a big guy, muscular guy, and he was also a carpenter by trade. His father was a carpenter, and he learned carpentry. And so I could relate to him as a builder. But his younger son, who was a few years older than I, came to live with him, and he had a bit of a troubled past, and his father wanted to help him out, so a friend of his wanted a house, and he built, they lived a little bit up on the mountain from us, called a place called Jackson Summit. And the first thing this guy did, which I loved, was he took an old barn and he converted it into a house. He often talked about his plagues that he went through of flies and all kinds of other things that came out when he warmed this house up. But he really took this old house and made it into a beautiful place to stay. But when his son came to live with them, he needed some work, so a friend of his bought some property down the road, and they were going to build a house. So they ended up hiring me. I was in 11th grade as a helper, and I went up and I started working with his son, Dave. And we got to be friends and you know, spent that summer together. And then the year after that, we did quite a few things together, and he became a good friend of mine. But he and his father got in another fight, and he stormed off and took a trip out to California hitchhiking to visit an uncle, and none decided to come back home. He called his dad, asked if I could come home, and he said yes. And so on his way home, he got picked up apparently, and someone murdered him. See, God will be with you in the fire. That night after his father called me up to tell me what happened to my friend, I went up to see him at his house. I knocked at the door. And this huge man engulfed me with his arms and cried. God was with us through the fire, through the funeral. And the next year he moved away. I didn't really know where he went, though my mom would fill me in on some details occasionally. I always wanted to see him again. But me and my personality, I never pursue those things. So it's something in my heart, but I never expressed it. Twenty-some years later, Robin and I have a young family. Our kids are early teenagers and Robin's homeschooling, and we end up taking a summer vacation with a bunch of homeschoolers to a homeschool camp in New Hampshire. And we're there, and it's in August, so it's right around actually my 40th birthday. And during that week, the kids were really enjoying themselves because there was this couple that was taking care of all the young people, and they really liked this couple, and they had a couple kids roughly their age, and they were just all enjoying themselves, and we were all enjoying ourselves at this camp. So every day for lunch, you know, Robin's really good at this. I'm not, but she is. That, you know, let's go around and make sure we meet everybody that's in the camp. So every lunchtime, she always made me eat with somebody new. So it was almost the second to the last day, and this couple that the kids really liked, Robin said, let's go eat with them. His name was Tom. And I said, okay. So I went over there, and we started some chit-chat, and, you know, where did you grow up? And I said, oh, I grew up in a little place called Mayfield. And he said, oh, that's interesting. I had a place not too far from there up on Jackson Summit. And as soon as he said that, I knew who he was. He was David's brother. So I got up from the table. I didn't say a word to anyone. I got up from the table. I walked around the table, and I held out my hand and said, hi, I'm Wayne Zimmerman. I'm your brother's best friend. How is your parents? How are they doing? Well, they just live down the road a little ways. Let me call them, and they'll want to come up. So they did. They came up to the camp, and he spoke that night at our little gathering and shared about his son. And shortly after that, they both passed away. See, God is good. He gave me a desire of my heart that I never even asked for. Because he's good. He gave these wonderful parents a last opportunity to share about the son that they lost 20 years earlier. And they were blessed. So, let us taste. Let us see for ourselves that God is good. Because when we do, we'll have this, the result of knowing that God is good, that I have seen, is that you become thankful. One of the results of understanding this foundational principle that God is good is that you become a thankful person. So I would like to challenge any of us, if you're not waking up and being thankful for your day, then go back and look at this foundational thing in your life Do you really believe that God is good? Because if you do, then you won't be complaining about your life. Because in the midst of all our problems, He is there with us. As we walk through the fire and make our way through the waves and the waters that hinder us, even in our own pain of our bodies that are deteriorating. See, God is with us, and He'll never leave us or forsake us. This is our testimony, and this is the testimony that the world needs to hear. People are so unhappy with their lives. And when they meet somebody who's happy and content and full of thankfulness, then they want to know why. And you can tell them, well, come, taste and see that Jesus is good. He's the good shepherd. He's laid down His life for you. And they can know the truth, the reality of this world, the reality of the kingdom of God, is that no matter what we go through and how difficult things are, God is good. And He has blessed us with good things. So thank You and praise You, Lord Jesus. Thanks for helping me through my testimony today. All right.